Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
And here we are at 10 minutes after 12 on this Wednesday afternoon. Welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch. Glad you're here. Terry Savage is here as well. We'll talk to her in just a second or so. In the second half hour, we will talk to Frank Sennett. He works at Crane Chicago Business and brings by studies that they do, stories that they do. And they are out with their best places to work in Chicago. So he's got 100 of them. I don't know if we'll get through all 100, but we'll run down some of the best places to work in the city. And then, as I said, with Bill and Wendy, we'll talk to the founder of the H. Wood Company. That's the company behind this new hotel, Found, which is a no-frills, very affordable hotel right in River North. We start on Wednesdays with Terry Savage most Wednesdays, and this is one of those. Terry, welcome back to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Always glad to be here on a day when nothing's happening today. My goodness, isn't it boring for the Dow to be only, what, down about 9 points when we're used to up 200, down 200 or more?
Yeah, I think IBM brought it down from an earlier high, but yeah, it's quiet.
Even though their earnings were good, that tells you something.
So the earnings report's coming out now. I saw one estimate that they think the profits will be up, what, 17.3% for the S&P 500 companies. That is a pretty phenomenal number.
That is a spectacular number. Credit some of it to savings on tax rates. Credit another part to an economy that's growing and consumer spending that remains strong and consumer confidence that remains strong. And, you know, the question is, what other good news could you get? And when you reach that moment in markets when all the good news is in, then, you know, some of the smart money starts saying, well, what's the next move down? And so that's why you're seeing disappointment, even with really good news.
So what you're telling me is that traders are saying this news is too good to be true. I should be a little concerned.
No, it's true. The question is, what's the next act? How can they follow up? We have rising earnings. We have a long, long economic recovery at the, you know, one of the longest in history. We've had a long bull market, one of the longest in history. And so the skeptics among us, you know, those are the traders. It doesn't move the market all the time, but it moves it on days like this. Say, well, what more good news could you ask for? Time to sell.
That's short term. Lloyd Blankfein was on CNBC this morning, Goldman Sachs CEO. His quote is, if you divorce yourself from a general feeling of anxiety, which I live with, and just look at the facts and numbers, what you can measure, then you can say things look awfully good.
And that's true. That's what the market's telling you here. The question is, the people on the extremes, the edge, the traders, look ahead and say, well, everything that, you know, was promised is happening. We all feel good. Oops, maybe we should get nervous. And that's, I think, what's going on.
Okay, I want to bring up one of my pet subjects, and I know that you don't like it, but it was in some of the notes I sent you. And I talked to John Najeris about this yesterday, too. Trim Tabs did a study of spending, what the big companies have done with their tax gains, the money they picked up from the tax cut. And by a ratio of nearly 3-1, they have spent the money on stock buybacks and cash mergers rather than paying that to their workers. And I'm interested in what you think about that, because you know a lot more about it than I do. Najarian knows more about it than I do. I didn't expect all the money to go to the workers, certainly. Maybe 3-1 is fair, but it seems to me like with these stock buybacks, they're taking care of themselves and the CEOs with their salaries and not so much the people who are doing the work.
So that's an interesting comment, and it's a fair perspective to have. But the interesting thing is, everybody who owns stock, not just the CEOs, in most situations will benefit as if a company decides it doesn't have anything better to do with its money, it cannot grow, it doesn't see another company that's undervalued that it should buy, then the question is, what happens if you give workers raises? Then it makes you less profitable unless you are growing. And that means that you're going to have a decline in the price of your stock. So a board of directors will sit there and say, this is a perfect time. Our stock is undervalued. And if we buy shares back, there will be fewer shares to go around for the earnings we have. That boosts the earnings, the price-earnings ratio, and typically boosts the stock price, and therefore all remaining shareholders benefit.
The people, well, wait a minute, though.
Shareholders are just rich people. It's in your index fund and your 401k plan.
But the people who are making the decision to do it are the people who are going to benefit most, right? I mean, that's fair.
Well, I, you know, if you management has an obligation primarily to its shareholders. Now, if you have disgruntled employees, you can't be a good company and you're not going to get good returns for your shareholders. So you can be sure management takes into account the employees as well. But when they make a decision, the overall obligation is to the shareholders. And if they think that the best thing they can do with the best return to shareholders is to buy back stock, yes, the incentives are there. The incentives are there to boost earnings per share, which has in the past boosted stock prices, and if their incentives are short-term earnings per share growth, then you're right, they do get rewarded.
Well, one of the things I didn't see in this study, which I'm also interested in, maybe even more interested in, because we have talked about this a lot, is whether or what percentage, how much money is going toward research and development, or how much money is going toward rebuilding companies' infrastructure and all of that as well, because I think that's important as well, not just paying the workers, and I hope that that's not being neglected. It wouldn't be in their interest to be neglecting that, I wouldn't
think. Well, it's very interesting decisions. Now, you brought it to a point. Let's just take drug pharmaceutical companies. We've seen some situations where drugs that many people would like to see, or illnesses that many people would like to see some kind of creative solution. If it's not a drug, it's a gene therapy or so forth. That's a very expensive proposition that may or may not pay off, and if it does pay off, it's in the long run. And you're right, executives have to think short-term in terms of the value of the shares. That's their job. And so you see that conflict particularly in pharmaceutical companies. A, they expend a lot of money. Some of it never comes back in terms of profits. B, they raise prices on drugs that they own patents on. And this is a dynamic between the obligation and the opportunity to make money to create all these new discoveries or invest in new drugs or in infrastructure and plant and equipment. You've got to be profitable to do that. And to be profitable, you have to balance out your cost of your product and the price you can sell it at. Not every company does that well. I'm not defending corporate America in general. But you've got to understand the challenge facing both boards of directors and management.
Is that 3-to-1 number for stock buyback versus salary increases? Is that kind of what you expected, or is that bigger than you expected?
You know, I never even looked at that as a ratio. I will think that going forward, you're going to see more salary increases, but not because someone thinks that's the right thing to do, but because we're practically at full employment, because there's so many jobs that require education or skills or specialized areas of knowledge that are going unfilled because we're limiting immigration of skilled workers as well as fighting the illegal immigration. We're limiting visas. So for sure, you're going to see wages go up. You remember in January, you said, what's the best investment, Terry, for the year? And I said, it's going to be in yourself. This is the time. If you haven't been working, go back to work. There are just such the greatest challenge for management in many companies is finding skilled workers. That's going to push wages up for those who do have jobs.
All right, that's Terry Savage, and we're going to take a break, come back at it. And in the second half hour, we're talking to Frank Sennett from Cranes. One of the things we're going to discuss is the vacancy rate when it comes to retail space in the city, and that's taking a hit with Toys R Us. Now there's word maybe that Bed Bath & Beyond might be next. Don't know about that, but I want to talk to Terry about that in a minute or two.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Bertrand, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
All right, Terry Savage is on a phone line. And, you know, Terry, we were talking before the break about Bed Bath & Beyond and Toys R Us, and Toys R Us apparently rejected an offer from the creator of the Bratz dolls this week. But I was just reading that Bed Bath & Beyond had its credit rating cut again last night by Standard & Poor's. So that's just another one of the big retailers sort of struggling to keep up.
There's going to be a new model. Another headline today is that Amazon is working with Best Buy to not only sell a special brand of HDTVs in the Best Buy stores, but also online. You know, there's been two divergent paths, retail, bricks and mortar, and, of course, online. Walmart's made a giant effort to become what Amazon is online. I haven't seen signs that it's working. Poor Bed Bath & Beyond. They used to be the one and only place to go to get all that stuff. But now Amazon has taken over the commodities part of the business. You need a new pillow. You need a new mattress pad. You need a new kitchen appliance that maybe you could get or would have gone to Bed Bath & Beyond. You can just get that delivered to your house like within 24 hours. And the other thing is that many of these stores like Home Goods are discounting the kinds of decorative products that used to bring high margins, coverlets and all kinds of decorative towels and stuff that people used to go to Bed Bath & Beyond for. You're going to find it bargain prices at the Home Goods and Marshalls type stores. Ask me, I'm an expert on that.
I like what you think, though.
Bed Bath & Beyond's getting squeezed. Their debt's just above junk.
So retail, it's not going to be one winner or loser, maybe just a new standard of some sort of hybrid.
I think that's what we're moving to, or the successful companies will move to.
All right, I like to read your columns. You usually post them on Tuesday or Wednesday at terrysavage.com. And this week is about fixed income, fixed index annuities. And you have a way of writing to make everything crystal clear, but this is sort of a complicated topic.
It's a complicated topic, and the reason I wrote about it is that, number one, it's impossible to compare these products, and number two, you're being invited, all of our listeners, to, I hope they're not advertising on WGN, but anyway, there are these, come to a free lunch, learn about fixed index annuities, get the upside of the stock market with the protection of fixed interest rates. It's the most complicated and sometimes deceptive sales pitch ever, and in many cases, you know there's no free lunch, so what you're doing is ensuring that the salesperson has a good retirement, not so much yourself. I won't bother to go into the details of the things, but just to say that, number one, you're not getting the whole upside of the stock market. In most cases, you're not even getting a significant portion of the upside if the market goes up. Number two, you may be locked in for a period of years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years even, where you can't have complete liquidity of your money. And ultimately, probably you're not going to be able to withdraw the gains that you hoped you would for your lifetime income. So I'm not damning all fixed index annuities, but I am suggesting you read the column at TerrySavage.com before you go to the free lunch seminar.
And you do say that there are, times when annuities are a good thing, right?
I'm doing a follow-up column. Annuities themselves, I own some. I have nothing against annuities. But you need to understand the product you're buying. And because these are all different products with different indexes and different restrictions, you never really know. You have to deal with someone you trust. Next week's is about what is an annuity, immediate annuity, check a month for life or your life and your spouse. And how about some short-term guaranteed rate annuities, which give you tax-deferred compounding with higher rates than CDs? A little bit more risk, perhaps, because it's an insurance contract.
It's interesting because so much information.
Annuities.
It's all the information is all there. It's all available online. You can type it, find whatever you want. But it still comes down to finding someone who you can trust to get you through it.
I have a couple of resources for people. I just hate to see people. You know me. The one thing I can't stand is seeing people get ripped off in their intentions to do the best for themselves. They wind up giving the salesperson the benefit, not themselves. That gets me going.
Book one of annuities is at terrysavage.com. Book two coming next week. Good to talk to you again, Terry.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
Now, your noontime check-in with today's business world and more. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. Here's Steve Bertrand.
It is 12:36 on this Wednesday afternoon as we sit in the Allstate Showcase Studio, just 24 minutes away from the latest weather advisories as we get some snow, sleet, rain, all of that stuff coming our way. As Kim said, the Cubs game canceled. White Sox out west. In fact, they've got an afternoon game, so that's coming up about 90 minutes from now. I hate to start right away with Frank Senate and correcting him and scolding him, but I'm afraid I might have to. Frank, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
So you guys are out with your list of 100 best places to work, right?
That's right.
I have to admit, I got it this morning. I haven't read everything very carefully, but I didn't notice WGN Radio there. And by golly, it is one of the best 100. I got to tell you that.
And Crane Chicago Business as well. I think it's because, we have to keep a hands off from the media because then everybody would be jealous and want to work with us.
Well, who wouldn't want to work with you, Frank? How do you put together a list like this? Because it's got to be a pretty intimidating task.
Yeah, so there's a Best Places consultancy that, you know, helps us go through and rank all of the entries by various benchmarks so that, it's not, you know, just, oh, I heard, you know, anecdotally, this is a great place to work. They have to hit certain things about voluntary turnover being low and, you know, various benchmarks in terms of benefits and salary and because the employee satisfaction. There are employee surveys that are part of this process. So it's a really rigorous process, and it seems like the results you know, hold up, except for, I guess, the oversight of WGN and Crane.
You know what? We're in flux. We're moving, so people are a little angry right now. So thinking of it, I mean, I like that you broke it down, because usually you'll break it down to millennials and things like that, but you have a category here for best places to work for baby boomers, which obviously are the older workers. I think one of them was the Bank of Highland Park.
That's right, yeah, the Bank of Highland Park, and there's a great video online that you should check out that talks about kind of a day in the life of the bank. And Steve Serio, who's the photographer who took it, said that he just loved going there because, you know, that people just go there in the community and have coffee and hang out. It's just such a friendly vibe. And, you know, one of the things that we learned watching the video and he learned we're shooting it is just how flexible they are with, you know, work from home and, you know, commuting from downtown, you know, making accommodations for that. Basically, they really are a welcoming, like a family type environment out there. So, you know, if the media thing doesn't work out for us, I think we should put in an application.
Well, Serio's a neighbor, so I'll just hit him up. Maybe he's got it in for me.
Yeah.
Were there any surprises in what you read in this list?
I think, you know, the nice thing for me is I always like to see, you know, the new ones that get on there, the startups that come in. That's always fun. You know, but then you've got some stalwarts as well. I just really get a kick out of reading through it and seeing, you know, what some of the best practices are. So nothing jumped out at me as like a huge shock, but I always like seeing kind of, you know, the new ones bubbling up. That shows that we got a vibrant employment scene in Chicago.
Another story that was in Crane's recently has to do with retail vacancy. And I was talking to Terry Savage just before the news headlines about how there's some reporting, you know, that Bed Bath & Beyond certainly might be a company that is challenged. We're dealing with Toys R Us vacancies that are coming on the market. And here we are looking at a retail vacancy rate that is the highest it's been in years, right? Almost since right after the recession.
Yeah, so it's not because of the economy. It's because of pressure from online selling. You know, it's finally kind of coming home to roost. We have a vacancy rate in the first quarter of 11.4% in the Chicago area, up from 9.5% a year earlier. And, you know, there are some bright spots in the very dense, high-income urban areas. Those shopping districts are very popular, low vacancy in the 6-7% rate. Further out, you know, in the south suburbs, it's almost 20% vacancy rate. So it's, you know, kind of you know, winners and losers. Really, where the retail is doing well is in these high density areas. There's a lot of picking and choosing, and they have this thing called the five F's.
Yeah,
is what you know, is withstanding the online thing. It's like fitness, food, fun. You know, things like that.
Furniture.
Where you can actually have a furniture, have an experiential, you know, thing that's hard to replace, and fashion. You know, I want to go in and see if that shirt fits, you know, in my case, which is, you know, rarely the case. So,
you know what? You can make even the shirts that don't fit perfectly, you make them look good.
And I got to tell you, I went over the weekend, I took my son to an electronics store in Chicago, getting some speakers for the TV. The sound system, and their displays were all like, all the speakers were gone off the mounts. There were like two open box buy ones left, and there was almost no selection. We finally found a couple as we're walking in. I said, "Why didn't we order this online?" And I said, "Well, don't you like to be able to come to physical stores?" But I got to say, retailers need to be on their game,
right?
Because why would you go to the store? You know, so even those of us who still like going to a physical store, it seems like The physical retailers, some of them are a little down in the dumps.
And, you know, you talk about the fact that it's a challenge from e-commerce and all that, which I'm sure is true and the biggest factor. But the CEO of P.F. Chang's was in the studio a couple of weeks ago. I had a great conversation with him on the air, but also off the air. We were talking about, you know, people are a little flush. There's the tax cut. The economy is doing well. Discretionary money is up, but he said that it's not going to restaurants the way it has traditionally. And one of his theories was, is because we have so many other ways to spend our money now, whether it's, I mean, you know, not just buying things online, but paying for minutes for our cell phones or paying for our internet access. There are more areas or avenues for our money to go out than it used to be so in the traditional days.
Is this where you share your PayPal account for everybody to see?
I'm not complaining. I'm not crying. I just thought it was an interesting way to think.
No. I'm just saying, you know, another way for people to spend their money.
Yeah.
To send you some cash. So
we've got about a minute and a half here. The other thing that the article points out, which is interesting to me, is that the retail areas anchored not by Macy's anymore, but by grocery stores. Those are the ones that are doing well. So there's that. I want to save time, make sure we can talk about this Rauner administration Medicaid story, because it's sort of complicated. He has started this new way of dealing with Medicaid, right? And it's privatization in many ways, but he's running into trouble with Blue Cross. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so the revamped Medicaid managed care program has kicked Blue Cross and Blue Shield out from new enrollments until they fix some issues that the state says are bubbling up. One is a lot of customer complaints that they haven't addressed. And the big thing is that they don't provide enough access for patients to the doctors in their network. So they went to Blue Cross Blue Shield and said, look, we're not going to enroll starting April 11th any new patients in this program. They gave them a fine. And so there's a little bit of an expectation that they need to bring it up to snuff. And Blue Cross Blue Shield has provided some records on dealing with those customer complaints, but it's still very much in process. So it's pretty big action taken in this program.
I don't know too much about the governor's program, to be honest. It's called Health Choice, but I noticed that one of the things they're stressing, they're privatizing it, which comes with its own risks. But one of the other things they're stressing with the program is preventative care, which I think is a good thing. Get people before they're sick, and with any luck, we'll spend less money later. That's what the one of the goals from Obamacare was.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the way to get the cost spiral down, to bend that cost curve down, is to hit people before they get to the emergency room, for sure. And so they're just saying to Blue Cross Blue Shield, please give more access to doctors in your network so we can deliver the results.
Hey, I got to run, but have you seen that new hotel found up in River North, sort of the cut-rate hotel where you can stay for $24 a night, $100 a night?
I have heard about it, but I haven't seen it.
That's pretty cool. I've seen the pictures. We're going to talk to one of the people behind it coming up. But right now, I say farewell to you, Frank. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Steve.
You bet. It's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN.
This is the Wintrust Business Minute.
Got a minute? Good, because I've got the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing the news, providing input, and breaking down the stories that matter to the world of business. Donations are a big part of the business world, but even more so within the arts. The Art Institute of Chicago made history this week after the world-renowned museum announced it just received $70 million in donations. $50 million came from a trustee and her husband, while the other $20 million came from a chairman and his wife. This infusion will surely allow the Art Institute to stay ahead of the game and continue being one of the best museums in the world. Food delivery is also staying ahead of the game, as industry leader Grubhub announced yesterday that they'll be integrating the online payment method Venmo for customers to pay for orders. B2C innovation for the restaurant industry has been tough, but this will definitely be one of the bigger trends seen across the board. Grubhub already sees more than 60% of orders from mobile devices, so they're trying to make the experience even easier for consumers. Streamlining the process. One of those phrases that we're going to be hearing more and more of. Tune in tomorrow for all of your up-to-date business news on WGN Radio.
Back to Steve Bertrand and the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
It is 12:51. Here we are on the Wintrust Business Lunch. And John Williams, just around the corner, you know, we've got early baseball today. White Sox have, I think it's a 2:35 first pitch. So the pregame begins at 2 o'clock straight up. So just an hour of John today. I know that's going to be tough to take, but John Williams will have to squeeze 2 hours of programming into just 1 hour this afternoon. All right, we're going to travel not too far from here, really, just up to River North to check out this new hotel. It is called Found, and one of the people behind it is John Terzian. John, did I pronounce your name correctly?
You actually did. Amazing.
Ah, well, that was a blind luck. Welcome to the Biz Lunch. Thanks for squeezing us in today.
Thank you.
All right, we're dealing with a bit of a delay here, so I'll ask you a couple long-form questions. Tell me about this Found Chicago, the fact that it's described sort of as no frills. It looks a little, it's got enough frill for me, but it's a low-cost hotel that you think is looking for a new market. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, so, the idea behind it is that we're trying to bring something that's cost-efficient, but done well. So the idea of bringing some elegance and great ambiance to an affordable price into a greater, a bigger community, basically, is what our goal is with Found overall. And because there's going to be several Found hotels, and the flagship, if you want to call it, or the first one is Chicago. And so my background is I have a company called the Atrewood Group, and we're specialists in F&B and branding, and so we're doing the restaurant and bar and coffee shop and overall brand of the hotel. And the idea is the combo of great food and beverage, great decor, with rooms that are low cost and all done well, brings a really great community.
So the
it's pretty special and something that not many are offering.
You've converted a single room occupancy hotel. I think it's 600 block of North Wells Street. $109 is what I read for a private room, but there also are 9 shared rooms where you can bunk up with people you don't know and spend as little as $24. Who do you expect to use those? And I read that local people are prohibited from using those. Explain that for me.
It's a big trend, and it really started in Europe, but it's become a lot more popular for business travelers, especially young ones that are traveling, and it's more affordable. The only reason it's prohibited for residents, it's not a law, it's self-imposed by all the hotels that do this. And the reason, it's supposed to be for travelers. It's not supposed to be for, as far as staying there. And so, there are a handful of rooms that are shared, and that's the point of the Found brand. You combine that with the restaurants and bars, well, you get all of the amenities and that any other hotel you get, and it's pretty special place for someone that wants a low-cost room.
Well, John, yeah, I was going to say my next question is who stays there, but I mean, it might, for me, it might be better put who doesn't stay there, because I guess what you don't get is you don't get the massage, there's laundry in the hotel if you want it, there's a restaurant, there's a lounge, there's just not all that other stuff.
Yeah, even, by the way, we've even solved, there's a concierge, there's a number you call for the concierge, there's a number you call for direct food brought to you. So it's not room service in the traditional way. It's actually a handful of handpicked of places, including our own, that we bring up to the room. So we've just been creative as far as a new model is really what it is. And there's others doing it, and they're doing it successfully.
Well, tell me
and
about
so
that.
I'm
interested in that, too, the fact that is this going to become a wave? I mean, is this going to become not the go-to place to stay, this sort of hotel, but is it going to grow as much as I think it probably will?
I think it will, because there is a rise in, with the way the world's working, with how much business needs to you need to travel in order to create business. I think that there needs to be more hotels or brands like this. And so, the rise of Ace and Freehand and Moxie now, and there's a handful that are all doing it amazing, and respect them. We're just doing our version.
All right. So
I think there's going to be more to come.
Start in Chicago, Boston, San Francisco, LA next. In 30 seconds, why is it that you picked Chicago to kick things off?
I mean, why not? Chicago's the best.
Well, yeah, but you're an LA company, so you've got to be careful, right? Because sometimes Chicago, we get our shoulders up a little bit. We don't like to see people coming in from out of town. How do you make it Chicago?
I'm very well aware of that, and we are purposely not doing that. So our chef is, our head chef there, Altimo and 42 grams, and has a great, illustrious Chicago career. And our head bartender, Justin Campbell, who ran Girl and the Goat, Public and Anchor, and our goal is to really be one with Chicago. We're not trying to just come in there and do that. All we're trying to do is provide a great option there. And to answer your earlier question, why I think Chicago is great is, between it's just kind of cross section of people traveling that have to go through there.
That
you
is
know, it's go ahead.
John, we're losing you on the phone. I need to take a break. But listen, I wish you luck. The name of the hotel is Found, 600 block of North Wells, and I hope we can talk again soon.
Thank you.
You bet.